Hello and welcome to True Romance. My name is Devin Leary.
My name's Carolina Barlow.
That's interesting.
I know.
I noticed that in a recent text, you again said joined with instead of joined by.
I'm done. Okay, I'm done with the prosecution of joined with or joined by. You know what I mean. These fucking grammar Nazis have been after me since I was 6 years old.
That's a big word. That's a big word. You don't have to evoke Kristallnacht to tell me that you're bothered by my behavior.
I am always tired because I've been working late nights.
Yes.
And my attitude is peeking through.
Like I love that.
Like a crazy old lady peeks at her neighbors. My bad attitude has been slipping out of me. It's like when you're drunk or when I used to be drunk and all of a sudden I'd be like, wait, that was a really mean thing I just said, which is mainly why I'm sober now. But I'm getting, as some people say, spicy.
I like that. I think you need to be a little spicier. I am someone who, like, baseline, I think, is mean and just has to do a lot of work to, like, not be that.
I think you're very nice, but you look mean.
I look mean and I sometimes struggle to say things in a way that is, like, comforting.
It's like a Killing Eve, when the beginning of Killing Eve, when Jodie Comer, is that her name?
Don't know.
Is watching the child and trying to imitate their faces.
Yeah, I did relate to that.
You have a
that.
Little bit of that energy. Even though you're not a psychopath.
Speaking of TV shows.
Go on.
We should do a little highbrow, midbrow, lowbrow, don't you think?
Oh, would love. Would love. Let's start with highbrow.
Okay.
My highbrow recommendation this week is hand surgery. Surgery in general. And the corrupt thievery of the healthcare system nowadays, to get surgery at all is a gift and a blessing.
Yes.
And this summer, I'm starting a, unfortunately, long journey with reconstructing a middle finger and my hand. It was, quote unquote, crushed in a accident involving the car and the freeway. And I'm working on putting her back together. My doctor is what people say is extremely attractive. He looks like a ER day player. Not even
McSteamy.
Kidding. He's hotter than most doctors on Grey's Anatomy. He looks like that. You know how you look at them being like, there's no way that person's a doctor. He is crazy. Hey, one of his nurses told me that he gets hit on by patients in the room.
I mean, you got to shoot your shot. How often are you going to end up in the same room as like a ER surgeon? You got to go for it.
When I was in the hospital, I was constantly on potent drugs and I was always asking people if they were single for my sister, and everyone thought it was for me. And so I would drunkenly yell at them, it isn't for me. I don't like you. It's for my sister, which is not convincing.
I've never witnessed something both so heartbreaking and comical at the same time as some of the texts that you sent me from the hospital because you were high on pain medication.
I don't even remember sending you texts.
One of which being like mere days after like a life-altering accident, obviously, and like you were in the midst of several surgeries and just like insane medical trauma. So I texted you like, how are you doing? Which I guess in retrospect is like, why did I text that? But I just meant like, how's it going today? And you were like, I'm not really that good. And I was like, oh, no. Yeah, I know. I know.
Not great. The best is that people were sending me flowers, which was really sweet. And Beth Jacobs sends me the tiniest bouquet I've ever seen in my life. It was almost a bit. Will Ferrell was in the room with me when she walked in with it, and he said, don't worry, a smaller bouquet is coming soon.
I'm sure it was a bit, honestly.
Beth said that she called the florist, and they said, we only have a small bouquet available. And she said, is it small enough to be embarrassing? Like, if she said, I don't want to send it if it's embarrassing. And they're like, no, it's not. And sure enough, it looked like a bouquet you would put in a bathroom, like by a bathroom
It looked
sink.
Like potpourri.
It looked like a rush. It looked like it was a rush order.
I'm sorry.
Just get something in front of her.
Just get, just put something, whatever it is, just something, okay? Okay, so here's my question. Do you or do you not want me to be there when you get out of your first hand surgery playing, "These hands are small, I know, and they're not yours, they are my own. And they're not yours,
they are my own, and I am never broken." I am going to ask my doctors to play that on loop. And if that's a problem for them in a 7-hour surgery, then that's on them.
You need, it's like, even if you're anesthetized, you need to be like subconsciously hearing Jewel.
I need Jewel in the room with me. No, but what they're doing is very highbrow. There's a lot of really complicated things. Yes. The thing that comforts me when I'm stressed out is that the people working are smarter than me and everyone I know combined.
Yeah, I do think that the medical profession is highbrow. Like, it does seem like they go to school for a long time. They do work that I could never do. They, you know, my aunt is in the nursing profession, and she was a nurse, and now she works in various areas of the medical field, and she has been at Fenway vaccinating people. Just something that I could never
lay
do.
Down my body in the middle of a street for the nurses that were with me. One of them was washing my hair and singing to me at 2 a.m. One of them, I had these, I mean, there's so much gross stuff that happens in a hospital and nurses just treat it like whatever. And there were these little, like, they looked like rubber eggs that were attached to me that were cleaning my wounds. And I called them again, hi. I was like, "Those are my dragon eggs." And one of the nurses to another nurse, when I was like out of it, was like, "Okay, these are her dragon eggs. That's what she calls them. Okay, so you tuck the dragon." Like, she thought that like I needed to call them that.
Wait, so you actually had, they were attached to your body, like cleaning for you?
Oh, babe. That was the least of it.
I know, but I'm just like, that's fascinating. I've never heard of that.
Exactly. No, I had a vacuum attached to my arm that was cleaning my arm for me. And it was fucking gross. I mean, I'm sorry, but there's a lot of weird stuff that the body does when it's healing.
I don't even want to know.
It feels so, I know, it's a lot.
No. I don't mean it like that. I just mean like, I don't even want to know, like, I can't even imagine what that was like.
I don't think it hit me until very much after the fact.
Right, like you're in it and you're just surviving it and then...
Exactly. It was a wild ride and it's kind of crazy. So I've been wearing this black glove for like 3 years and it just is what it is. And it's called a compression glove. And I've been that girl with the glove and it was so self-conscious. I was so self-conscious of it and now I forget about it until once in a while people are like, "Oh, I love like the glove look."
Oh, wait,
I'm like,
what?
I'm not Britney Spears.
Wait, people say I love the glove look?
Yeah. Well, people don't know why I'm wearing one most of the time.
Oh, so they think it's like a carpal tunnel thing or something. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with more True Romance. I want True Romance. Welcome back to True Romance.
I will say that like a lot of things I learned are like I don't want to talk about it a lot.
Right.
I mean, this is different because I'm talking to you who I've talked about it so much with, but I mean, especially earlier on, because people will ask you like, "Wait, what happened?"
Right.
And if I don't know you really well, like, I don't really want to get into it. I don't really want to get into it. Like, once a girl asked me in an office in front of like 12 people, and I was like, I don't really want to talk about it. But then again, I understand, and I've spoken about this a little bit. I understand if you haven't gone through that, you wouldn't necessarily understand that it was
right.
Annoying. So I do have like some compassion, but at the same time, so I'm like, I remember this one assistant was like, "Damn, girl."
No.
And I was like, no. No.
In fact, no. But thank you.
Okay, so that is my highbrow. My midbrow is something that I really have been getting people on. I really want to tell our listeners about it. It's called Olbas, O-L-B-A-S, oil, inhalant / massage oil. It's a very small bottle. A celebrity makeup artist turned me on to it. And so I assume that most of our listeners are wearing masks as they should be, as we all should be, for the most part. Unless, of course, as the CDC says, you're in a room or outside with vaccinated people and people who aren't at risk for COVID, blah, blah, blah. Regardless, when you're wearing a mask all day, especially at a long day of work, your mask can get really stale.
Yeah.
Really sweaty even, which is gross, but just true. Or if you, like me, sometimes partake in barbecue chips, then you are stuck in a mask with someone who has barbecue chip breath, and that's gross. So let me introduce you to Olba's oil. I wish this was sponsored because I love it so much. You put a fingertip of a small amount of Olba's oil, touch it into your mask at your chin, and then it is like, it's peppermint, eucalyptus. It's like you're suddenly in a spa. It's calming. I'm addicted to it because when anything smells or tastes or feels good, I need all of it all the time, constantly. So I do it like every 10, 15 minutes at work. You don't need to do it that often. You can literally do it once and it just smells so good and also wakes you up. I swear, I've gotten 5 people on it. People, I was giving it to people and then they would literally go on their phone and order a bottle. And it helps you breathe clear because it's an inhalant. As if it could get better, it is good for sore muscles because it's also a massage oil. So right now, for instance, my shoulder hurts. I'm going to go put some Olba's on soon. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it exists.
So I'm just really hopeful that I turn people onto it. It's changed my days. And I also bring a spare mask to work in case, you know, I need, if I'm working a 15-hour day, I like to wake up in the middle of it.
Wow.
So that is just my life. And then my lowbrow would probably be looking at Kate Middleton and Meghan Markle's outfits online and seeing if I can find their dresses on eBay or Poshmark. I'm very big into the Poshmark scene right now. I opened up a shop.
I went to your shop.
You can find me at Carolina Barlow.
I just wanted to see what
to
you were
getting myself
rid of. So I did, I moseyed on by your shop.
You know, it's a mixture of highbrow and lowbrow in my shop as well.
Oh, I think that Kate Middleton looks like a Cruella villain, so I don't really want to dress
like
her.
I think you're right.
And no offense, but I don't like Meghan Markle's style either. I hated her boat neck wedding dress. I can't get over it. I would never.
Really? I loved
it. I would never have chosen that. Are you fucking kidding
me? Her shoulders are gorgeous.
She could have had. Oh, okay. I'm sure her shoulders are her best part of her body that she could have shown off. No, no woman's shoulder is the best part of your body to show off. First of all. Second of all, you have all the money and resource in the world and you put it towards that plain Jane boat neck, just like ill-fitting sheet dress when you could have had fucking anything.
What are you going to wear?
What?
What's your dream wedding dress? I'm asking sincerely.
My dream wedding dress is like something with like at least some glitz and glam. A little bit.
Are you going to show off your teeters?
Yeah. In what world would I not do that? But I'm just saying, like, you could have had all the shebang in the world. You're a fucking princess and you choose a boat neck J. Crew looking thing. Like,
I liked it.
No.
I want a short. I want it to look like I'm a casual bride, but I'm going to be a bride chilla and really
ruin people's lives.
Curate the fuck out of my look.
I'm going to create a new word for bridezilla that doesn't even exist yet. No, I'm kidding. All right. My highbrow is this show called Counterpart. It's actually on, it was originally on Stars. Now it's on Amazon Prime. I had no idea it existed. I just watched the whole first season. It's insanely good. I can't even believe that no one has talked about it. The acting is incredible. The writing is incredible. It's set in Berlin. So I love like shows that take place in different places right now because it allows me to like
Stanley Tucci's Search for Italy.
Yes, such as Stanley Tucci going to Italy and violating COVID precautions so he can talk about pasta and everyone acting like it's the greatest gift to God's people. I like transplanting into like a Succession where they're going all over the world and going to different like fun luxury places. So I recommend Counterpart. Also, one of the stars is Nazanin Boniadi. I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name correctly, but she is an actress who some may recall, was the victim of the murder cult Scientology. She was forced to be Tom Cruise's suitor, and she has escaped. Not only did she escape from Scientology, okay? She escaped a death cult and went on to give one of the best performances I've seen in Counterpart, so I highly recommend that.
You may remember her from Leah Remini's memoir.
Yeah, you may. Leah in Leah Remini's memoir, she calls her Nas. I guess they're like on a nickname basis like that. I'm not at that place, but I just think she's beautiful and a really good actress. Midbrow, I'm going to say pizza from a place, just like a corner pizza place, like dollar slice pizza place, because this week I had a classic, or last week I had a classic buffalo chicken pizza from like a place that wasn't bougie. I've been doing a lot of bougie pizzas recently, and we went with just like a total mid-brow pizza joint with buffalo chicken pizza. So good, so nostalgic. I will say that it works as an Ambien. It puts you to sleep swiftly, very swiftly. It is like just a ball of cement in the stomach, not gonna lie. And so you have to accept those consequences if you want that fiery fried chicken and cheese taste.
I'm impressed that this is your midbrow. It also reminds me of a story of my friend going to a 7-Eleven when she was hungover. Seeing someone walk out of the 7-Eleven at 10 a.m. with a whole pizza they bought from the 7-Eleven hot items window, and then watching this person eat the entire 7-Eleven pizza outside of 7-Eleven, and then my friend promptly went and threw up because it was so disgusting to watch. But I know what you're talking about, especially in New York. You can walk down the street and find a random spot. And it's not even like, because it's New York, it's not even like authentic New York pizza. It's literally just microwaved fucking bread and cheese, and God, the crazy toppings that people will indulge you in. Have you ever had pasta on pizza?
Yep.
Because I certainly have. That also reminds me of what should have been my lowbrow runner-up, which was Auntie Anne's pretzels, which I had
100%
for the first time two nights ago. And it was just that. At first I said, I'm not hungry. And I said, I'll split it with someone. First bite in, I knew nobody was going to have the rest of this pretzel besides me. I eat the whole thing. It's the best thing I've ever had. It tastes like love. Soft bread. I'm talking the in middle of croissants. I'm talking about the bottom of an apple pie. That stuff is what love feels like to me. And so I completely ate this pretzel. And then I'm going to say roughly 10, 15 minutes later, I realized that it was of poor quality for how I was digesting it.
I know. It's like, why can't God make the good things right? You know, like, it's like,
that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
The greatest pleasures on earth, such as an Auntie Anne's pretzel, such as a buffalo chicken dish. It's like, why can't that just be our air? Why does it have to be not good for you? But I mean, I don't make the rules.
We went to God immediately with this stuff.
I don't make the rules. Wish I did.
Your lowbrow.
My lowbrow. Let me think.
As usual, Devin has so much to pick from.
Okay, so I'm actually, since we're talking about food, I'm actually gonna recommend a food-related thing, which is, I guess it's lowbrow. I mean, it's no Thousand Pound Sisters or I Know Who Killed Me or some of the other things I've partaken in.
I Know Who Killed Me.
But
and by the way, if our listeners don't know what I Know Who Killed Me is, it is the movie where Lindsay Lohan plays a legless stripper.
Yeah. But I have become really obsessed with food Instagrams and like food bloggers and looking at like just photos of donuts and photos of like you said, croissants. Like, I've just been really, I guess that's part of the like escapism thing too. Watching TV and looking at pictures of food are just two things that I do to get out of my reality sometimes. And I would recommend it. Some accounts, I really can't think of any accounts off the top of my head. So you're just going to have to do your own digging. And if this is not the best lowbrow recommendation, then I guess I'll go with Gallery Girls, which is a Bravo show that lasted one season about girls who work at galleries in New York City. And I would say that's a good lowbrow binge watch. Princesses of Long Island, also a good lowbrow binge watch. These are some shows that we shouldn't have lost, but we did lose. And I'm not God. I didn't make those decisions about those shows not continuing.
We have to, again, remind you that Devin and I are not God. We are not in charge here.
If I've made the rules, listen, if I were president, this is what I'll say, okay? One, no pandemic. So sue me. I don't think we should have had the pandemic. Sue me. What? Go ahead.
That's two, infrastructure.
We definitely should have kept Gallery Girls, and we definitely should have kept Princesses of Long Island. What? So sue me. What? And that's all I have to say. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more True Romance.
I want True Romance.
Welcome back to True Romance.
I also have a runner-up for lowbrow, which is I like looking at before and afters on Instagram. So that can be a number of things. Before and after plastic surgery Instagrams are always enjoyable, even though I will be someone who will be involved as, let's say, a test subject for some plastic surgeons to try out some things.
Oh, I definitely would do that. Yeah.
I also got a Peloton bike, again, to borrow Devin's phrase, sue me. And so I've been looking at a lot of Peloton before and afters. It's a little bit some old eating disorder behavior, so I should probably cut
it out. Sounds a little pro-Anna.
But I love being encouraged by others' progress. So sue me.
What? So sue me. What?
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about a meme that went viral. And when I say viral, I mean a lot of our True Romance listeners identified and liked the meme that was made from Devin's fingertips. And it was a reminder that Gwen Stefani went from ska queen, ska princess, making one of my favorite albums as a 13-year-old girl, which was Tragic Kingdom.
Hey, you came in with the wind. On Sunday morning.
Oh, one of my favorite. I used to watch that video all the time, and I wanted to buy the cheetah cardigan and black slip skirt that she wore.
It's such a good song.
So, yes, we had this fashion icon, this gorgeous platinum blonde, and she wrote an amazing album inspired by her breakup from her longtime partner, Tony Canal, the bassist, and I believe the keyboard player in
No Doubt.
No Doubt.
Yeah. So what happened with this meme is that I was up late at night looking, scrolling through my food blogs, and I happened to see on my Discover page a picture of Gwen Stefani. I know the Social Dilemma says don't click your Discover page, but the Social Dilemma didn't take into account that some of us would be in a pandemic without a job and had nothing better to do. So why don't you do a recreation of that with some A-list actors? So I'm on my Discover page. I click on this picture, and it's Gwen Stefani in her iconic look where she wore like a furry blue bikini on a red carpet, and she had blue hair. And I just was like, okay, so this is just, it's not like a cool girl. It's like one of the coolest people to ever live. Like, this is just one of the coolest people to ever live. So that's what I'm looking at. And then I just thought of the recent pictures I've seen of her literally doing like Christian Christmas albums in like a red taffeta puffy skirt dress with Blake fucking Shelton and
wearing his trucker hats and a plaid piece of his,
walking around talking about her religion and her faith and doing fucking, I mean, one of the early moments of their relationship was performing a duet of Hotline Bling, two white people doing a duet of Hotline Bling on, you guessed it, Fallon. So
hashtag Fallon is a cop.
Hashtag Fallon is the apocalypse. And so it just like made me so sad. I was like, oh my God, how did this happen? And then I realized, you know what? Of course this happened. As we discussed with J-Lo and A-Rod, no one is immune. J-Lo was not immune to a fuckboy. And Gwen Stefani is not immune to changing for the person she's with. And when she changed for Blake Shelton, obviously it was to become the most basic blonde alive. And it's just tragic. It's a tragic kingdom in and of itself.
I have a few things to say. First of all, is that after Gwen dated the bassist in her band for years, I think they were together since high school, she then dated and married Gavin Rossdale, lead singer of Bush, aka a band nobody cares about, has maybe ever cared about. I don't want to toot my own horn on my intuitive powers, but as a young child, as a preteen, I thought, that guy seems checked out and not interested in the most beautiful, cool woman that anyone could ever ask for.
Right.
And I would read quotes of hers in magazines where she talked about her signature red lipstick. And she said stuff like, I like wearing makeup around my husband because it makes him attracted to me. So I am always wearing makeup because I like it when my husband's attracted to me. And I thought, that's strange. Most women don't worry about being completely made up. Don't get me wrong. It's fine. When I was dating, I liked to be dressed up for a guy, but I definitely didn't do it out of any sort of pressure that the guy would find me unattractive if I didn't. Anyway, smash cut, he has a secret daughter. Another smash cut, he's been having a longstanding affair with the couple's nanny. I mean, men can be extremely disappointing. And then she releases an album, which I did really like, which was called This Is What the Truth Feels Like, which is a great title. She becomes a judge on The Voice. At the same time, Blake Shelton gets a divorce from Miranda Lambert, who rumor has it cheated on him. Listen, it was the perfect storm. They were going to end up together. And they did. And listen, I am happy for her in some respect. A, that she had a public romance after being cheated on and everyone was standing them. I don't love Blake Shelton. I think he's... I don't think he's a Southern liberal. That's what I'll say. I would love it if he was more of a Dixie Chicks type. I think he's more of a Blake Shelton type.
I know. And remember when he won Sexiest Man Alive and there was like a public outcry?
Come on, people. Yeah.
It was. Yes. I remember thinking like, I don't like him and he kind of is lame, but like, it really must suck to have people outrage when you're called sexy. Like, people are like,
that's what I felt.
Take it back.
When Kylie Jenner was in the WAP music video, and then there was actually an online petition asking her to be removed from the video, and I was like, or when Lily Collins got nominated for Amélie in Paris, and got so much shit for it because she didn't deserve it as much as a Michaela Cole, and I just thought, at that point, wouldn't you not want to be in the music video and not be nominated?
Yeah, it's like, it's not worth it. I was talking to someone about this last night. Like, when you have an addiction or, like, a vice, an addictive vice, it can kind of, like, have this subtle effect of, like, infringing on your potential. Like, slowly you're like, oh, yeah, I had these dreams of doing this thing and now I'm just like working a 9-to-5 because it's easier to do my addiction while I'm doing something easy, you know, like it just slowly eats away at your potential and you slowly justify it and are like, no, but it's okay because, like, you know, if I did end up doing my dream job, then I would have to move and I have to do all this stuff and whatever. I think relationships can kind of be like that if you're in the wrong one, or if someone you're with wants you to be like a different type of person, where it just like eats away at your potential because it's so time consuming that you're just like, oh yeah, didn't I want to be doing something different from this or with my life? And for Gwen Stefani, I guess that must be like, oh yeah, wasn't I a style icon who everyone thought was one of the coolest people alive? And now I'm performing white people versions of Drake songs on national television.
I also have to say something. Their voices do not complement one another. They have the most complete different styles that you could have. And it doesn't sound like cool or like a mashup or anything. It just sounds like weird.
I can't say I can call his voice to mind. Like,
it's just a country voice.
Yeah, it's just
but
like
it's
a
matched
drawly
with
thing.
This like pop ska fusion voice, and together it just sounds more like
Yeah,
it doesn't sound amazing. It's not a Carole King, James Taylor folk dream, or a Drake, Rihanna, amazing bop bop bop.
Yeah. You know, this goes back to Angela and Dwight from The Office, where that's what I was trying to say about that relationship is, like, in no way does either of those people... I know I haven't gotten all the way through the series, and apparently there is, like, toxicity that happens, but so far I'm saying that it seems like Angela and Dwight really accept the other person for who they are and, like, embrace that. And I think that if Dwight were with someone different, he might want to change that person. That's the whole thing, is like, you shouldn't want to change the person you're with. You should be really excited for the person they are right now. And I've definitely fallen into the trap of thinking, like, if this person was just a little bit like this, then we'd be great, so I'll just like stick around and see if they do become like that. It never works.
Okay, I have another thing to say about this.
Okay.
And it goes to J-Lo and A-Rod. And that okay. is that sometimes I think you can fall in love with your story and you can fall in love with how you look with someone.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that judgmentally. I think I've been in the same spot. I think J-Lo and A-Rod did have like a love story at first, and they were such a power couple and they looked so gorgeous together that I think that was really hard to let go of, and that's why a lot of rumors circulated that basically she didn't want to call it off. She wanted to split to look better and more amicable than just like, oh, he's obviously cheating with like Southern Charm cast members. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to bail. I also think the Blake and Gwen thing, they both had just gotten out of a divorce. They end up together. And it's sort of this romantic love story that everyone loves. They're on this popular music contest show that I don't personally understand, but a lot of people love and gets a lot of viewers. And they sort of fall in love. And I can imagine it being hard to let go of that narrative. So right. What do? You put on a neon cowboy hat and you make it a part of your personality that you're with a country singer.
Okay, but here's the thing. Like, what does Blake Shelton think when he watches a music video of Gwen Stefani and Eve dancing in bikini tops to one of the greatest songs ever written?
He thinks that she's really cool. He's talked about it. He's been like, my girlfriend or is like the queen of ska.
Okay, first of all, like, I really don't like the word ska, and, like, I just don't even like when you keep saying it. Like, I really don't like that, and I want to think of her as not that. Like, I want to think of her as, like, I don't know, like...
What do you want me to call it, Devin?
I just...
What would you in your perfect little world like me to say?
I don't know, like, I just, like, pop rock or something.
We are not God. I want you to remember that.
But do you think that... Because I don't think that it can... I think necessarily... I mean, sorry, I'm having trouble speaking. I think that the tendency is to think like, oh, he changed her, like he wanted her to be different. But it could easily be that he didn't want her to be different, but she assumed he wanted her to be different. So she started acting different. And
I think she just is very into fashion and thought like, I'm going to experiment with this look now that I'm like living on his ranch. Because it does look weird when you're in like fish, like torn fishnets and like a ripped shirt.
It looks better than a fucking cowboy hat.
I'm not arguing
what?
That. I'm saying that she was probably trying to assimilate. How do you say that word? I did my best.
No, you said it right, but I just... What world is this that Gwen Stefani thinks she has to assimilate? But, you know, again, I am not God. I didn't make this world. I have to accept this world for what it is, I guess.
Okay, I'm sorry. I really want to jump to A-Rod's Instagram story.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
As for Gwen, let's leave it on this note. Even if she's happy just to stick it to her ex, I'm happy for her. Her ex betrayed her in such a disgusting, loathsome way that I love that everyone knows it and knows what a loser he is and that he has to watch her with a, like it or not, I don't listen to his music, but more successful man.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if she's happy, she's happy. I don't know. I wish that she could go back to the braces and pink hair days, and I can't see that fitting in at the
hair,
CMAs.
Half bleach hair. That was my favorite look of hers.
I don't want to see her at the CMAs. I only want to see her at the VMAs, and such is life. And I hope this doesn't.
We're not gone.
I hope this doesn't happen to Ariana Grande, who is going to be a guest host of The Voice, and who is.
What do we think about Ariana Grande's marriage?
Her engagement. I think she has deep-seated issues of Tarzaning through a relationship, like swinging from one branch to the other and getting out of something into something new. I also simply can't imagine dating a real estate agent, but that's just me, and that's her choice.
Okay, wait, I have something to say. I'm obsessed recently with couples that look like each other. And
they do
look
alike. If you look
closely, they look exactly alike. Exactly. You have to look at them. You have to look at one of the Riverdale kids.
Yes.
What's his name?
Yes. The Sprouse. Okay. Barbara Palvin and Dylan Sprouse, I think.
Barbara Palvin and Dylan Sprouse. It's creepy. You have to look at it.
They have the exact same face. They have the exact same face.
No, it is the exact same face. It's so weird. It's so weird. And also, Aaron Rodgers and Shailene Woodley just started dating. Another couple that, if you look closely, just married each other. It's just such an like actor performer thing, I guess. We're just like, oh, that's me. I love me.
Okay, well, I don't really get Shailene Woodley, but okay.
Anyway, J-Lo and A-Rod. J-Lo obviously broke up with A-Rod, and he did what I would do if Instagram was available at age 17 or 16, where after they broke up, he made a silent video panning next to his bed, and it was all pictures of J-Lo and him together.
Including a framed matless Target $6.99 frame of a printed out Xerox paper that has a picture of sand and a heart around their names. Like, simply something that couples in middle school posted on Facebook. I don't know how he so quickly was able to go to CVS and print that out on Xerox paper and put it in a frame with no mat. But he did it, and that's commitment. And I'm really curious what kind of response he got to that. But at least now we know that his home decor style is beyond trash.
Very Home Goods, yeah.
Very Home Goods CVS. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I want to end today's episode talking about Chris Maloney's ass in that viral photo.
Okay, but first can I just say, I want to put respect on the name of one of the greatest celebrity couples of all time that I personally aspire towards. And that is Christopher Guest and Jamie Lee Curtis. All I want to say is just two funny, amazingly talented people who have stayed together since the 80s. Nothing, including our economy, has managed to stay together since the 80s, and they have. So I just wanted to put some respect on that. And
nothing, including our global reputation as a moral leader, has been able to stay together.
Yes.
And Jamie Lee Curtis is just so hot.
Yes.
Her performance in Halloween should have been nominated.
Yes.
She is cool. She's confident. She has a healthy amount of self-esteem, which is very hard to do when the world is telling women not to age. And if they are to age, to hide it.
Yes.
And she's just fucking herself and knows how cool she is. And it leads her to supporting other actresses like Ana de Armas, who I would have struggled to support now as someone who's not as attractive as her.
Right.
But
right.
Jamie Lee Curtis has
my voice cracked. I'm like, right.
Devin's crying.
Right.
But Jamie Lee Curtis has higher self-esteem than I do, probably because of a wealth of career and awards. And I love that she's married to one of the funniest filmmakers of all time. And Best in Show holds up more than my 34A tits. I swear to Christ, it is so fucking funny. I can't watch it because my dogs go insane, but
all of those movies hold up. Spinal Tap holds up. Waiting for Guffman holds up. Check
Waiting
it out.
Waiting for Guffman, I know it's annoying when we quote TV or movies on this, but one of my favorite lines in any movie is the audition sequence in Waiting for Guffman when a regular towns guy comes in and he's like, okay, ready? And he's starting to do a monologue and it just goes, did you fuck my wife?
I love that. Okay, so you wanted to end on
Christopher Maloney.
Right.
His ass.
Okay.
It's big.
Great.
And I just wanted to say thank you for tuning into True Romance.
Thanks for tuning in, and please tune in again next week. We love and miss you all.
We love and miss you all.